connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it's 8:05. Welcome back to it. Big thank you to Ken King, Peter Hanlon, and the rest of the Flames group for allowing that to happen. Good to have that channel for feedback. And, of course, the text line, I think we read four of them out of what? Seems like probably 1,000. Yeah, people are interested. No doubt about it. We'll leave some of those for what you want to talk about at 8:40. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Shai Davidi at 20 after to talk all things Blue Jays. As mentioned in the trending, we will have the Jays matinee as they close their three-game set with the Texas Rangers this afternoon. 12:05 first pitch. A little afternoon baseball on your radio. You have to like that. And for those moaning and muttering that we keep saying we're going to play the games, but we don't play the games, a reminder on Major League Baseball's policy. We carry all the Jays games we say we will on the air, but we cannot stream them off our website. Major League Baseball prohibits streaming of the radio broadcast. Just terrestrial radio is what we're talking about. So if you're on the website trying to stream us or something along those lines, you're going to get syndicated CBS Sports Radio, I would imagine, not the Jays. So be sure to have a terrestrial radio with you. We welcome back Mr. Labardius in Toronto. Peter, thoughts on an extended conversation with Mr. King?
Fascinating would be the first word that comes to mind. And I love any scenario. The one thing that has always been very, very important to Ken and the Flames organization is that public feedback on all things is important. And with a project as large as this one, I think the last hour is really important, because in so many cases where a lot of people are affected, information sometimes is really difficult to come by, and there were a lot of great questions asked. This is a very large undertaking. It has a lot of different, you know, things that have to happen before it comes together, and I really enjoyed the hour. I learned a lot personally, and I think it is great that, you know, the two sides have come together as far as our radio station and the Flames for the benefit of the public to clear up any questions. Because like anything else, the more informed you are, the better opportunity you have to understand, A, what's going on, and if need be, make a decision about it.
Yeah, and you know what? There's so many questions out there. I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. Ken will be in again Tuesday afternoon, as Rob mentioned, so look for more information on that. And if you didn't get your question answered today, be sure to queue up early on Tuesday. I mean, they came in fast and furious. The first few minutes, not much, and then boom, literally probably 300 to 1,000 texts here. I mean, my every refresh, the whole screen's new. So the interest certainly is right up there. It's 8:08. Why don't we do our daily event where we ponder the world of sports, but really, aside from our thoughts, we wonder what Lou thinks.
I wonder what Lou thinks.
Lou, we're going to get away from the rink because we just spent an hour and 8 minutes on
sure.
It. I'm wondering, when I look at the Western Conference, the envy of the whole league in terms of some of the depth at center, how good some of these teams are. The Central has been widely regarded as the top division in hockey. How many Pacific teams will make the playoffs? With the new wildcard format, it could be as many as five, as few as three. I wonder what Lou thinks.
I would think the right answer at this point in time is probably three, just because there is so much strength and power and possibility as far as the Central. However, if it ends up being 4-4, would that surprise me? No. I truly believe that the Dallas Stars will have an excellent opportunity to be back in the playoffs. The teams that are already have qualified. But Nashville is an interesting one for me. Because the one thing I think we know is no matter how we forecast, and take Colorado for a perfect example, I think going into last season, Ryan, a lot of people, I wouldn't say they would have thought they'd be a lock, but It just shows you how difficult it is to predict. Take San Jose for an example. I have a ton of respect and time for Peter DeBoer as a head coach. At this point, are they truly in the mix? Are they as good as they used to be? Probably not. But one never knows the type of effect that just, something new and different can have. And yet I say that in having beyond respect for the new head coach of the Edmonton Oilers and Todd McLellan, who I've known for a long, long, long time. So, as we've even witnessed in Calgary, I guess, to wrap it up, it's so difficult to tell because if you find the right, new voice and the right culture change, some things can happen in a real, real hurry. But that's central. That central is ridiculously difficult. I wonder, as I said about Nashville, and here's another big thing for me. What happens with Patrick Kane?
Yeah, no, that's a huge variable. There's no
question about it. The Chicago Blackhawks are still fantastic, but if something really goes awry there, and it easily could, how does that affect that group?
Well, don't forget, Brandon Saad's not there anymore. Patrick Sharp's not there anymore.
Correct.
If you lose Patrick Kane, that's three very good hockey players.
Johnny Oduya is not there anymore.
Yeah, and I'm just talking about the forward core. Yeah.
Yeah. However, Trevor Daley, a pretty nice fit.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah, it's the exciting thing is just the endless possibilities. And, we're paid to talk about it. And in this case, what do you think? Well, what I think is that every night you lace it up in the West, you better be ready for one of your best efforts. Because, even against some of the teams that people don't think will be playoff teams, in this day and age in the NHL, there are no easy touches.
I would agree.
Zero.
And, if you had to play Dallas or Colorado down the stretch, you weren't looking at them like a doormat. I mean, Edmonton and Arizona, that was unique. But everyone else in the West, those were legitimate fights. And even after the coaching change, Edmonton wasn't a soft touch. I mean, Todd Nelson's record there was much more respectable than what we saw with Dallas Eakins. Just a quick note there. The one thing about the center being so good, it also kind of caps a point total as a team in the division because you play so many of your divisional
Correct.
Rivals. And there's no Edmonton, Arizona like last year in the Pacific. I mean, the Flames did almost what? They played like 900 hockey against Edmonton, Arizona. You can't play 900 hockey against two teams in the Central. So it is going to be tough for those last couple of wild card teams to get in because they are going to be playing Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg,
right.
Minnesota, Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville. There's no weak teams in that division.
And that's why it may end up being 4-4.
Totally agree.
For that very reason.
Next, little Blue Jays. We got Matt and Nate today. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to squeeze it in. I got some afternoon errands. I did not plan my week accordingly, but I am wondering with the run they're on, 21 wins in their last 25 games. Who's the biggest threat to the Jays? Not just in the division or making the playoffs, but in the entire league. If there's a team that can beat the Jays in a series, who the heck are they? I wonder what Lou thinks.
Well, I think that still the largest threat, especially in the American League, is the Kansas City Royals. And the reason being, I still absolutely love that bullpen, starting pitching. They've gone through the experience of being one win away from, capturing the whole ball of wax, if you will. So that is probably where I begin. And yet, with the Jays, what I truly wonder about when the playoffs begin, and it's hard not to think at this point, as we discussed about an hour and a half ago on this program this morning, that they won't be a part of the playoffs. And you hope they win to the division because, frankly, one-game showdowns in that sport, who knows?
Don't like it at all.
Yeah, you don't want to be involved in that. If there's any way, shape, or form you can eliminate yourself from that program, it would be fantastic. The only question mark about the Jays that I have, and I still think it's a valid one, is their starting rotation good enough when it comes to winning best of seven series?
Well, and we've seen it. That you know what you're going to get out of David Price. That's one starter. But after that, there is not necessarily a ton of consistency. Mark Burley's second half has not been nearly as good as his first half. R.A. Dickey has been great for 3 months, and then his last two starts, he hasn't been able to get out of the fourth inning. It appeared he couldn't get out of the first inning. He ended up going six his last start, but five earned runs in the first. They are guys that can be prone to a hiccup. You don't want to see those in late October.
Now, it's hard not to think that they don't have a chance to win at all because of their lineup. And they are just ridiculously difficult to get out and keep off the board. But for as long as I've watched the sport at that level, at that time of year, don't think you're putting up 10 spots a lot of nights anymore. I mean, the runs just seem to be a lot more difficult to come by. And remember, when you face somebody, you know, four, five, six, seven times, then it's all about adjustments. And in many ways, it's all about, still to me, starting pitching and your ability to make plays and get people out. So we'll see.
And the text line all blowing up again with questions around Patrick Kane. I mean, it's something that a lot of people haven't thought about, but the way that leagues are approaching, just to switch gears again, sorry, Patrick Kane showing up on the text line all over the place. I'm with you entirely on the Jays, and we'll get to some Kane stuff and what you want to talk about in about half an hour's time. It will be interesting in the American League. Kansas City's a heck of a ball club. Finally, last one for you today. We'll stick with the Jays because they're the topic du jour with the matinee at 12:05. I wonder who Lou thinks will end up being the next president of the Jays, and if it's someone in-house that we know of already.
I wonder what Lou thinks.
Well, I haven't given it a great deal of thought, to be honest, and there's been some names. Mr. Shapiro's name has come up recently. I actually thought that the now president of the Boston Red Sox might become the new president of the Toronto Blue Jays, that being Dave Dombrowski. Would have been great to have him back in Canada. Of course, he held down that type of a position many, many moons ago, unfortunately now in Montreal with the Expos, and his track record is a good one. Could it be Alex Anthopoulos? Man, I don't think it's out of the question. Listen, the moves that that gentleman has made hasn't hurt his popularity these days. So Mr. Anthopoulos and the Jays and Rogers went all in. And right now, ask the people at Rogers how much they're enjoying ticket sales these days of that particular team and their television ratings.
Merchandise, ticket sales, TV numbers, radio numbers. Oh, it's huge.
It's bananas.
Very good. I'll say this. Alex Anthopoulos can keep working on the baseball side because that's clearly where he's a genius. I don't necessarily need that guy calling to people worried about a new facility that they're going to have to probably get in the next two decades in Toronto. I'd leave him right on the baseball side. I don't think we even need to have heard of this president guy. He needs to go out and grow the business, be a businessman. You don't have to be a former baseball GM wheeling and dealing to know how to maximize revenue out of that facility and to get more cash committed from ownership. I would be just A-okay with things if I've never heard of this guy, but he comes with a solid resume.
Always difficult for me to answer in many ways outside of the fact of one thing. You need someone at the top who is very strong. I disagree with you in this sense. I think understanding the game, how it works, and all that goes with it, I think is more important than maybe some would think. But listen, the best organizations are organizations with a true plan that don't deviate from the plan. And as hard as it is, and it's hard, listen, with that kind of money and prestige and everything, what, you don't think egos aren't a big issue? And pulling the rope the same way goes a long way. So, you know, I would. I don't want to see somebody that's just completely business-oriented. I want to see somebody that, you know, understands the game and everything that goes with it.
Good job, sir. We only got one more of these left. I'm going to miss. I wonder what Lou thinks. We got Friday, and then it's back to normal.
Well, you know, we could always add it to your regular routine at some point.
I wonder what Lou thinks.
It's not a bad idea, Lou. I wouldn't be against that. I wouldn't want to bug you around game day skates or anything, but maybe the odd I wonder what Lou thinks cameo through hockey season wouldn't be the worst, would it?
Well, no, I'm game. I'm usually very accessible and very agreeable.
All right. When we come back, Shai Davidi. We'll see if he agrees with our Blue Jays takes. They've got a matinee. Boy, look at this. First pitch is less than 4 hours away. Kick up your feet. Lock the office door. Tell the boss you're working on a big project and tune in the game. 12:05 first pitch, Estrada against Gallardo. The Gallardo was fantastic against the Jays earlier this season. I believe shut them out over something like 8 innings way back in the first couple months of the season. So we'll see how that one goes this afternoon. Jays looking for a sweep. It is getaway day, and they're coming home. Remind us one more time, you're going to a couple of these Tigers games. Is it tomorrow and Saturday?
I am going, yes, tomorrow and Saturday. Wow. And maybe even Sunday. And I flat out can't wait. It's going to be a great couple of days. One of my favorite people in the world is coming in on the weekend, and a big reason why I'm going. So really, really excited about it.
Who's that?
My good friend Kelly Rempel from Regina.
Oh, there's a name there.
All right. Yeah, all good. Does some work at CKRM Radio.
Very good.
At times. That's not his main gig.
Don't be afraid to check out the old platform in center field. A little rowdy there. And there'll be some people having fun.
Listen. When you say that, think about me and how I go about my business. Do you think I really need to spend a lot of time in that center field platform?
I'm sure you could get a Coke Zero and you can heckle Anthony Gose in center field with the rest of them. I don't see that as a problem.
Well, I'm going to go sit. Although I will say this. For most important sporting events, which these aren't going to be for me, I probably prefer to stand, so I like that location.
It does not surprise me one
bit. Not sure I need all the clientele, but I like the location.
We'll keep you decaffeinated, and you may have to stand.
Caffeine is no problem. Standing is no problem. Too much sauce from others who really don't care about the sport, that can be a problem.
No problem with our next guest, Shai Davidi, our Major League Baseball and Jays insider on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ryan Pinder in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's 8:30 on a Jays game day. Winners of 5 in a row and 21 of their last 25. It'll be Marco Estrada in search of a 6th straight for the Bluebirds and another sweep. After piling up 36 runs against the Angels over the weekend, sweeping them away and knocking them out of a wild card spot, Jays have already done the same to the Rangers, this time with 18 runs through 2 games. With more on that, we go down the phone line to say hello to our Jays insider, Shai Davidi. Morning, Shai. How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Well, we're getting pumped. We got some afternoon baseball on the radio here in Calgary today. That is a good thing.
Definitely a good thing.
What do you make of what we've seen in Texas thus far for the streaking Blue Jays?
Just more of the same. You know, I can't remember a stretch like this that I've covered for the Blue Jays. And I think I saw something yesterday say this is one of the best runs in franchise history in terms of wins, but it's also really the way that they're doing it, against whom they're doing it. You know, the Angels and the Rangers had grand designs on these 6 games, and, you know, manager John Gibbons admitted yesterday that before they went out on the road, he thought that this would be a pretty telling trip for his club. Just because you're going out west, different time zones, 3 time zones, 3 cities, 2 places where they haven't had much success over the years, and 2 teams trying to knock them or leapfrog them in a playoff chase, and the Jays just bludgeoned them. You know, the Angel series was merciless, and the Rangers hasn't been much. The Rangers series hasn't been much different so far. So, you know, if whatever check marks the Blue Jays were looking to find or to get put in a box here this week on this trip to this point, they certainly accomplished it.
Pretty telling how hot Edwin Encarnacion is when his OPS goes down on a day he hits a grand slam. He has been dialed in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I haven't checked it this morning, but going into yesterday, his OPS this month is actually higher than it was last May when he hit the 16 home run. And that is a pretty good indication of just how good he's been. And what was really odd about it all is that in some ways it's been in the background because Josh Donaldson's been out of his mind. The bottom of the lineup has been doing great things. The Jays have gotten so many good performances by so many different types of players. And that really this is what, when you're putting a team together, you're hoping to accomplish, right? Where you're getting contributions from different spots and that it doesn't always have to be one or two guys. And you just have that depth of attack, which the Blue Jays have certainly had for an extended period now. So if you're the Blue Jays, it's hard to look at things right now and really find fault with or pick up very much.
The numbers on Edwin are in August are as follows. He's hitting .382 in the month. He's got an on-base percentage of .405 and the OPS 1.214. That's a staggering numbers. It is Shai Davidi joining us, our Jays insider on Sportsnet 960 The Fan with Ryan Pinder and our co-host Peter Labardius.
Another win last night and a solid start for David Price. Shai, you've been around the ball team on a day-to-day basis. Has he brought more to this team than just what we see as far as having a true ace to march onto the field every 5 days?
Sure, Peter. And, you know, one of the I asked R.A. Dickey about this yesterday. I said, you know, pitching staff's been on a pretty good run for an extended period. How come? What's going into that? What does it really help? And he says that having David Price on the staff doesn't make him pitch any better or doesn't make any tangible difference, but there's that easing of pressure and that it slots everyone else in the rotation into appropriate spot because you have the number one guy, the stopper, and you know that if you falter, that guy's coming up every 5 days. And from wider perspective, it gives John Gibbons a little bit more flexibility because he knows every 5 days he's getting six or seven or eight, a solid six, seven or eight from Price, if not more. And there's also that feeling that when you go out on the field with that guy, it's like, okay, today's a win day. And, you know, I mean, given the way the Blue Jays are playing, I think that, you know, they could go out there with Josh Towers right now and feel like today's a win day. But it's just that sense that, okay, we don't have to do that much and we're going to win today. And that's really what he's brought aside from the obvious numbers.
I was just going to say, isn't it funny how quickly things have changed in the sense that it would be hard to imagine this team not being in at least one playoff game, wouldn't it, Shai, at this point?
Sure, but, you know, I was talking about this with someone earlier today, and they were making the point. It's like, it's really rare that, you know, a team actually has a build-up and takes off. And, you know, you can point to three teams this trade deadline. The Mets with adding Cespedes, Uribe, Kelly Johnson, the Rangers adding Hamels, Sam Dyson, and the Blue Jays. All three of those teams, in some ways, did exactly what they needed to do and found exactly the pieces they needed to plug their holes. And, you know, there were signs that the Blue Jays had been underachieving over the first 4 months of the year. When you look at their run differential and you look at the record of 100 games and things like that, you could say, you know what, there's some issues defensively, some issues in the bullpen, and a little bit of depth in the rotation that are holding back this team and are keeping them from really maximizing their potential. And then you plug all those holes with good players and good people and good teammates to boot, and all of a sudden you take off and maybe things are starting to level a little bit and the Blue Jays are becoming the team they were supposed to be all along. So I'm not suggesting they're, you know, going to be 21-5 club over 162 games, but they're playing at a level that is more indicative of the talent they have on the roster.
Shai, we had this conversation earlier, and I wonder what your take is. If you're the Jays and you're looking long-term, you as Shai Davidi, I shouldn't say as the Jays, what's a matchup that concerns you? Is there a team in the AL that scares you a bit? You know, obviously we know that Kansas City's running away with the Central. Houston's look good in the West. And then there's going to be a couple of wild cards if the Jays can take care of the East. Anyone scare you out of the group?
You know, I would more kind of look at which teams have starters that give you trouble, right? And, you know, the Houston Astros with Dallas Keuchel and Scott Kazner, those are two guys that give the Jays trouble give the Jays some trouble. So that might be a matchup you wouldn't like. Trying to think about how things are in flux constantly. I mean, you know, if you ended up facing the Yankees in some way, shape, or form, you know, that's a rotation that's going to be tough, you know, with Pineda now that he's back. Severino can be tough. Nova can be tough on the Blue Jays. Tanaka can be tough on them. So, you know, it's more who's got the stars that are going to give you some pause. And, you know, I think one matchup a lot of people would like to see is the Jays and the Royals, given how great that last series between them was and some of the ill feeling. I think that would be pretty good entertainment and really two good teams. But what we've seen over the last several postseasons is that in some ways it really doesn't matter what the matchup is. It's who happens to be hot at that time. And things can turn so quickly. I mean, the Royals were a few outs away from elimination, and all of a sudden they get a little cracked. Gregerson doesn't have a great night on the mound, and they're in the World Series. So that's how fast things turn in the postseason, and that's why in some ways you really can't predict it.
And finally, just a thought on what the Jays are going to return home to. This is a matinee getaway day. As mentioned, a 12:05 first pitch will carry here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But then it's at home for a bit, and the Detroit Tigers, who are nearby, and they're, you know, old divisional foes from way back, but more importantly, probably recent trade partners. What is the atmosphere going to be like around Rogers Center? Is there another gear that crowd can get to, or is more of the same 11 on the dial, so to speak?
Well, you know, what it was before we left was people really buying into it. And this, I think, is going to only amplify it because, you know, it's even more likely. I can't remember, but I don't think the Jays were in first place when we left. Now they're two games up for the first time, and they're guaranteed to be in first place when they return. So that's going to add another element to this. And, you know, the simple progression of the calendar just makes this all the more real each step along the way. So, you know, it's getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. A lot of work remains. A lot of things can still change. Nothing's guaranteed. But, you know, things are looking as good as they've looked at it for this team since 1993.
Wow. Yeah, I know. It's true. They keep putting up these historical numbers, and they keep getting compared to the 92 and 93. It's getting to the point where the expectation is that this group will be playing late into October and possibly into November, and that's got a lot of us excited.
Yeah, and it should. I mean, you know, this hasn't happened in 20-some-odd years, you know. And there have been other Septembers where you're like, well, if they get hot, if they sweep this series and go on a crazy run, maybe. But they're in control of their own destiny. And if they don't make it, it's only on them and not on anyone else at this point. They don't need anybody else's help. They can control it themselves. They have all the tools that they need. They have a great team. They have a lot of great pieces. If they don't get it done this year, they've got no one to blame but themselves.
Shai, a pleasure as always. Enjoy the matinee and look forward to what should be a crazy scene tomorrow night at Rogers Center.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that is Shai Davidi, our Jays insider, Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet 590. You hear him all the time, and you even see him on the broadcast on Sportsnet West. Again, matinee today, 12:05. Lubo, I'm telling you, buddy, you are in for a treat. And I suppose I don't have to tell you, you know this already, but I think moving forward, each home stand will be another raising of the hurdle, so to speak, on what a crowd can be at Rogers Center. Yes, they always sold out that building when it was the Sky Dome in 91, 92, 93.
It's different now.
But that was sit on your hands. It's the cool thing to do. Older people, I mean, this is a young crowd. This is a frothing fan base for people that a lot of them, if you're under 30, you would not remember this team in the playoffs. They want to be there to witness history. This is not a idle clap at the right times crowd. This is a zoo, and I think it's going to get even crazier tomorrow.
Well, I'm really wondering how I'm going to come away from the weekend going to at least two and maybe even all three games of this series, because, matter of fact, I finally made my first visit to Fenway Park a couple of weeks ago. Oh. And took that off the bucket list, and have been fortunate in my travels to, you know, get to a number of major league destinations, of which I certainly have some favorites. And for me, a big part of anything that I really appreciate has a ton to do with just atmosphere and people really caring and being really invested. To me, it's way more about that than all the bells and whistles and everything that goes hand in hand, no matter what the sport. And I just have a funny feeling that I'm going to truly feel like I am in a very, very different place than I've ever been before. Because going into this weekend, I would probably, of all the parks that I've been to, and it would be well over a dozen, rank this one to watch a game, and certainly when the roof is closed, which adds another dimension that I don't like, as probably dead last.
Yeah, I don't think,
but I haven't been there, so I can't even, I know there's other places that would rank lower. It's just strictly from the places that I've been, but I think that is truly, truly about to change, because from what I've even seen on television, I've been to the park a couple of times this year, but it didn't come at, you know, the most recent of times when this team truly has people on the bandwagon and beyond excited. There's a great core group here and a core group of young, you know, again, in that analytics, very informed, very bright about the game. And you can sense that even in the last few years when I've gone. But now, you know, what I kind of liken it to, and people won't like the reference at all, but it's the only comparison that I can think of in sports, is in Saskatchewan, we know how big the Rough Riders have always been. But when they went into that phase, you know, a decade ago when they started winning, all of a sudden, it wasn't just that same 21 or 22,000. And like you said, kind of the older demographic that you'd see all the time at then Taylor Field. It became a hot, exciting thing for young people and invested people to do. And I kind of see it, you know, right now in a very similar way in what I've been watching with the Blue Jays and their crowd.
Don't mind that analogy at all, Peter. I really don't, because it became, instead of, oh, you know, we're hardcore Rider fans, to the whole province was literally painted green. Everyone had a barbecue cover, a shirt, a hat, a blanket, a dog tag. I mean,
a
everyone.
Watermelon.
Exactly. And that is where things are at with the Blue Jays right now. I can't imagine what it's like in Southern Ontario. It's 8:45. We'll come back with what you want to talk about. Anything on your mind? Certainly the arena, the new facility, Calgary next, the Fieldhouse, the football stadium. You want to talk about that? By all means. Text line 960-960, but again, I'm not trying to guide you. It's what you want to talk about. So it's up to you, listeners. Get us to 9 o'clock. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Fan 960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back on your Thursday morning. Kendra Labarde is filling in. What a day we've had. If you missed anything at all, want to direct you to the website, sportsnet.ca/960, where you can listen on demand any particular interviews or conversations that you may have missed. Ken King in the studio, 7 till 8 this morning. That's going to be on your must-listen-to list if you have not heard it as of yet. You didn't hear it live, I suppose. Also up there, Bruce Dobing did his top 10 sporting moments in Calgary history yesterday. That's worth a listen. Caught some of that yesterday. And if you missed Rich Winter, he joined the afternoon show yesterday, the agent for Mark Giordano, talking about some of the market forces and how the negotiations went between the Flames and the captain, who is now inked for a 6-year extension that'll kick in a year from this October. Time for your turn at the wheel, though. I'm not going to try to direct traffic here. It's up to the listener.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Yes, text line 960-960. Pinder and Labarde is here. Lou, lots of people loving your comments on knocking Fenway off the bucket list, and that's spurred some conversation, certainly on topic today with facilities and stadiums, etc. Have you been to Wrigley, Lou? I want to go so bad.
The two places in the majors that I really, really wanted to get to were Fenway and Wrigley. And now I have scratched one off, but I have yet to scratch the other.
Well, I tell you, Chicago's a city to begin with, and then there's Wrigley. I mean, there are two teams there, and they couldn't be more polarizing in terms of your experience as a fan.
I don't need to go to the home of the White Sox.
Don't need to do it.
Nope.
All right.
Nope. I would. I would, of course, because I never met a sporting event generally that I didn't like. So I'm not a hard sell, but I really want to go to Wrigley.
All I'm saying is you plan a trip to Chicago, see both. It's stunning how different a baseball game can feel in the same city. Wrigley, old, it's a party. You've got the ivy and the brick outfield walls, and it's right in the middle of a community. You can't believe there's a stadium there. All of a sudden, boom. And then you go to U.S. Cellular in the south side, and it's big. I think it's three times the footprint of Wrigley. You've got all the suites, all the amenities. It's huge amounts of parking surround it rather than just downtown. Last summer, I went and saw both on back-to-back days. Really cool. I couldn't imagine living in Chicago. Oh,
it is a great city.
Elsewhere, in terms of arenas, Halo, mm-hmm. What's your favorite CHL rink that to a game to watch, and which would you rank the last, this texter assuming the Keystone Center towards the bottom?
Really, really difficult question to answer in terms of what my all-time favorite would be. Because, to be frank, my all-time CHL arena might be the old Saskatoon arena because of growing up there. And really, it was what, spurred on my love for junior hockey and all the time that I spent there. I'm really, really fond of a lot of places and for different reasons. The Robert Gartan Arena and the Medicine Hat Arena, which, of course, is now no longer, as the Tigers moving into their beautiful brand-new facility coming up at the start of this season. I'm really going to miss the Medicine Hat Arena. And the Robert Gartan, for very similar reasons, because I, for me, Ryan, it's about atmosphere, it's about intimacy, and that's one thing that the old buildings have that, frankly, the new buildings, just on a hockey side of things, really can't ever seem to capture. So those would be some of my favorites.
All right. Hey, Pinder, thanks for talking about OPS, but maybe explain what the heck it is to us non-baseball nerds. OPS is your on-base percentage plus your slugging. So on base is quite simple. Average is a flawed stat. A walk is very similar to a single in that you get no credit for even an at-bat with a walk. If you get hit by a pitch, the same thing. So on base is a better representation of a player's ability to not get out. And then slugging, of course, is for every base you get, that counts as one. A home run is four bases. A triple is three bases. A double is two bases. You take the number of total bases over your number of at-bats, that's your slugging percentage. So when you add on base to slugging, it gives you a measure of not just your ability to get on, but also the power in which you have. So that's why I like OPS. Hope that helps.
It certainly does. That was well explained, I might add.
Thank you, sir. On top of that one, a lot of people digging for stuff, Lou. I think we may as well get all these birds with one stone.
Sure.
Someone saying, Lou, about the new rink, one word, I really like it. Someone else saying, hey, Lou, let's start a new segment. I wonder how Lou smells. Hey, Pinder, how does Lou smell today? Let's just get all these things out of the way, Jay, please.
One word, look out.
Two words, be careful.
Oh, look out.
I smell terrific.
You can take that right to any bank.
They're so similar, it's like apples and oranges.
Talk to you tomorrow, Lou. You're a good man.
So we've just taken all the ammunition away. They're done now.
Nice.
Got
it's
them out
good.
Of the way.
I like it. I like it. Actually, kind of starts to make me smile. Not as much as I smile at the end of the show.
The montage is getting good.
Where the one part just, it shouldn't bust me up.
Hey, God, f*** off. Bring back Rod.
I don't know why. It just breaks me up every time I hear it.
Bring back Rod.
I don't even remember the bring back Rob part because generally I don't think I even hear that. But I don't like that I like it because I absolutely love Patty. But it's just that gentleman's inflection.
The power.
The passion that just, and the way, it's all packaged
hey,
together.
Off.
Just awful.
That's a good laugh we got out of you, Lou.
I like it. I don't know why. It just, and it bothers me that it makes me laugh hard every time, but it does.
Someone texting in two dead deers. Another person texting in, unfortunately, dead deer.
Dead deers.
So I don't know if you caught the traffic report the other day, but we had dead deers, Lou.
No, I missed it, but it didn't take me long this morning to understand what happened.
Unfortunately, dead deers.
Pinder, awesome explanation. Thank you. That was for the OPS. Any other nerd stats I can try to help you with? Boy, there's some big ones out there, Lou.
Dead deers.
I like on base. I like, obviously, whip is a good one.
Unfortunately, dead deers.
Stop it. I like, but there's like, there's Sierra, there's FIP, there's all kinds of
weird
stats.
There's war.
War I like a lot, too, but you can't explain how it comes to be. I mean, it is convoluted. You need to be a math major to figure that one out.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for all this stuff, too.
Well, and you know what?
You know?
Good players are good players by a lot of these stats.
Yes.
You don't have to have one. I mean,
no.
Yeah. That is the most and loudest I've ever heard Lou laugh. That coming out on the text line. Someone wondering the best junior game you've been to. Can you recall one? And
The best ever junior hockey game I've ever been to?
It's got to be a World Junior game, I think, but maybe I'm wrong. You love the Mem Cup, too.
Yes, I sure do. I still think in terms of the best junior hockey game I've ever seen in person, I would. Can I say two?
Sure.
Okay. Believe it or not, Canada's round-robin win over the United States in Ottawa in 2009 in that tournament, which Canada came back from a 3-0 deficit, and the game, as I like to describe, it never settled down for a second. Great comeback. John Tavares with one of the greatest individual performances at that tournament that I had seen in Canada. And there was lots of animosity and chirping, and Canada ends up winning it 7-5. Another great junior game would be a World Junior game actually that happened in Calgary on the 28th of December in the year 1994, when again, in a similar fashion, and the Saddle Dome that night was buzzing beyond belief. People walking out at that point talking about how it was even louder than during the Stanley Cup run of 1989 at that point. But Canada came back from a couple of 2-0 deficits. They ended up winning the game 7-5. Wade Redden tied the game with about 5.5 minutes left at 5. Then Jamie Rivers walked out of the right wing corner and won it with 2.5 to go. Jamie Storr made a great save off of Merrick Malik in the last minute.
Wow.
So those two, and I mean, my goodness, there's hundreds. It's never hard for me to say what my favorite two hockey games are. It's probably a little more difficult in terms of junior games, because for me personally, there's lots of different categories between watched, witnessed, called. So there's a lot there. You didn't need all that, but I gave it to you anyway.
Was that a wheelhouse text, or was that a wheelhouse text?
That was a wheelhouse text.
That was middle cut fastball on a 3-0
count.
Right
in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, like that. Final one for you. Someone saying the Taves 3-goal shootout game in the World Juniors was the best ever. I don't know if you were at that one or what you remember.
I wasn't at it. Needless to say, I watched it. I was in an Edmonton hotel room and still embarrassed for the people who might have been underneath me or beside me on either side of the hallway.
And finally, someone requesting an exploded bag of dead deers, if you have one of those handy.
I don't even know what I want to do with that.
An exploded bag of dead deers.
901.
You know what I want to do with that? Nothing.
Tell us what you got taking us to 10 o'clock, Luba.
We have an old friend, Andrew Walker, to chat about the Toronto Blue Jays.
It's
not that old.
That is a fantastic boo. That almost cracked me up too. Now remember, I'm so tired this week because I don't know how you guys do it. It's ridiculous.
It's 2 hours earlier out here, Lou. Come on, buddy.
I realize that, but guess what? My time of going to bed, you just don't adjust. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't been to bed before 1 all this week. Anyway, your time of shift sucks.
Right.
Bottom line.
So Walker at 9:05. What else have we got?
And then we've got our friend Ian Busby, who's going to stop by as he does on a weekly basis, and we're going to chat CFL. Stampeder focused, obviously, but certainly some other burning questions that I have for Mr. Busby, who can be found at Three Downs Nation on the web.
All right. One more thing to do. We'll keep Lou's mic live and let him listen to the old montage. This has been What You Want to Talk About.
What You Want to Talk About with Boomer and Pinder. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
You're flat-footed.
Big bag of garbage.
A mattress in the left-hand lane.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of sh*t that is.
I shit my pants last night.
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beat.
Oh, my God.
You have got to be kidding me.
Dead deers.
Thank God no one's listening to this.